food, the news and the reviews.
We're joined by Monica from doindubai.com. Monica, welcome back.
Who reads The Sun, I'm sure?
No, but you know what? Very interestingly, a long, long time ago when I was doing a journalism course, the first paper they said, right, so imagine you're writing for The Sun. And they said, the reason we're giving you this is one of the hardest papers to write for.
Really?
Yeah, so it might be very easy to read and you think, what kind of people read The Sun because of very short sentences. It's actually very hard to write for that, so I'll tell you that now.
Interesting stuff.
And also, Italy's a very big place, so you may not bump into other Sun readers.
No.
So, yeah, I wouldn't just not go to Italy because of that statistic. Yeah, that's my view.
The Sun, I guess, is a little bit like Twitter compared to Facebook, isn't it?
A little bit like Twitter? What do you mean?
You know when you do a Facebook post, and then you want to do a Twitter post that is like your Facebook post, but you have to think a bit harder about it.
Oh, to put your 140 characters in.
Yeah, it has to be a bit cleverer.
But they can't use things like Bitly when they're doing stuff for The Sun, so you can't sort of shorten your link to the article and clever things like that, can you?
They can't use any big words either, can they?
Short words.
They have good headline writers, though.
That's the thing, you have to, yeah. Creative, and they're quite sort of intellectual people who've probably gone to Oxford, which is quite ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. It is, yeah. Imagine paying for your child's education and then they end up working
for The Sun. They probably get paid very well, though, because it's such a widely read newspaper.
I don't know.
So I wouldn't knock it.
I'm not sure if they do. Because I think everyone's scrambling to get a job in places like that, aren't they? So I'm not sure they do get paid that well.
Oh, I don't know. I think it's a sought-after job is to be a headline writer for The Sun.
Absolutely.
Aye.
Right, we're going to talk restaurants. We're going to talk about new openings, new menus around town. Make sure you've got your notepad at the ready and a pencil.
Yes, absolutely.
Because we've got some great ones today.
We have, and everything, remember, is on doindubai.com. If they just click radio and go to the latest under radio, so all of this will be in the post. But one thing that's not going to be in the post is a little thing I came across yesterday, and I rang up and did some research. So I just want to mention it now, because I won't forget then otherwise. It's you think it's a normal sort of street food market with the kind of truckers where you have the, you know, the pop-ups and things, and there's about 20 of those. It's actually at the Dubai International Marine Club, which is where we did the boat show, live show from, next to, kind of opposite Barasti. But the reason I mention it, and the reason I think it's quite interesting and a bit innovative, it's a licensed street food market. So it's for adults only. You have to be over 21 to get in, 10 dirhams to get in, but they've got sort of over 20 artisanal food pop-ups. And the guy I was speaking to, who's sort of in charge of the whole thing, Alex, said, you know, he's not letting anyone just in terms of the vendors. You have to be owner, operators, you have to know your food, you have to know your sources if anyone asks you what's in this. Good for vegetarians, non-vegetarians, and if you'd like an alcoholic beverage to make an evening of it, then you can get a drink there as well, which I think is quite new, so it's worth mentioning.
How long is it going to be there for, any ideas?
It's on for 2 weekends, and the reason I mention it now is because if I'd mentioned it, I will mention it the next weekend, because next time I'm in, which is a fortnight's time, you'd have missed the first weekend, which is the 19th of January, so not this weekend coming, the next weekend will be the first weekend, and then again the weekend after that of the 28th. I think it's like Thursday evening, Friday and Saturday, so yeah. And it's open till quite late. So I think it's an interesting one to check out, just to see how it works as well.
And it's quite a nice little position to be in, that, isn't it? Right in front of the sea.
Exactly. And the weather's still nice. They're going to, so he's sort of quite on it in terms of the types of offering. It's not just going to be sort of hamburgers run by perhaps disinterested employees who are just going to give him a bit of money to be there. And you can have a beverage as well. And it's by the sea. So yeah, I think check it out. I'm going to go along on the 19th.
All right, you can see Monica down there if you do head down. Another one we want to talk about today is brand new. I love it because it's using solar panels, it's in a park, and I can ride my bike there from downtown.
Well, that's very, very important. So we are talking about, I'm guessing, In the Park, In spelt I-double-N. And this restaurant actually is in the middle of Al-Khazan Park. Mark, did you know where Al-Khazan Park was before?
I did, yeah.
You went to this restaurant. I had no idea where it was. I had to sort of look it up. And they said Blue and White Water Tower. And I think that most people would know about in Dubai because... Yeah. How long's that been there?
They repainted it probably about 2 years ago.
Okay.
I think it's my favourite piece of architecture in Dubai.
Yes.
White Tower.
Whereabouts is
this
it?
This is in Al-Khazan Park opposite City Walk. And I love it because it's a real symbol of new and old Dubai because we took a picture of it and behind it you can see the Burj Khalifa. City Walk is opposite. But yet this is a quite simple structure, if you like, quite Middle Eastern in terms of the patterns that are on there. Very simple, blue and white. We went in to have our breakfast and we came out. And when we came out, there was tinsel strung from the top of this tower all the way down. So I thought, I'm sure that wasn't there. Like, I haven't had any magic mushrooms or anything about an hour ago. And they had done it while we were having our breakfast. So I thought that was really, really fun. It was... really nice thing. I think they were doing that for New Year. So it was between Christmas and New Year.
Can I tell you the one thing that bugged me when I went there the other day, though? I rode my bike there from downtown because at the moment, it's easy to get everywhere. You can go across the metro tunnel and then just ride the back streets, which are really quiet, and then across to the park from City Walk. It's lovely. And going to somewhere that's powered with solar panels, it's exactly what you should be doing, right?
Mm-hmm.
Riding your bike or walking there. I get in there, ride my bike across the grass, and I've got a security guard like literally running after me to get me off my bike.
No bikes allowed.
Yeah. I'm riding a bike in a city that has got a big problem with diabetes. Leave me alone. There's more to deal with than me riding my bike in a park. And okay. I feel like that attitude should not be happening in a place like that.
Were there lots of little kids running around? Did they think you might run them over?
No. Have brakes on my bike, and I wasn't going
brakes.
Fast.
Okay.
I'm toddling.
Well, he was probably just following instructions, is what I think. But yeah. I get you. I do get you. But I feel like
there's someone watching everywhere we go at the minute when you're riding your bike, just to tell you, or a skateboard or anything, just to stop it. And it's like, no, you should be encouraging that kind of behaviour.
Yeah, helpers get fit again.
Yes.
Absolutely. Well, I mean, if you're not going by your bicycle and you can't walk there, you can park just outside the in the park restaurant, outside Alcazan Park, very, very easily.
Yeah,
which is what we did. Lots of parking. And you do need to walk a little bit to get in. So the weather's nice. There's no issue. You're not going to sort of sweat by the time you get there. And I really liked it because there is no sort of inside. I mean, there's a little bit of a library that is going on inside. Very modern, funky library. I loved they have sort of cages that reminded me of something out of geography GCSE, which would be like a kind of wire metal cage full of old corals, they looked like to me, which you'd think would stop erosion if they were at a certain sort of part of the sea. And they're just there. They're kind of there as part of the decoration.
They're the walls of the building.
I love the natural materials that they're using within this park. The park is obviously quite a manicured park. It's not a wild park. So I really like that. I loved the tables that were made of sort of like it's not really a slate. It's a kind of like a Sloane slate mix, I think. There were chairs outside, very, very informal. There were other benches underneath the trees. So all this natural materials. And I predict for 2017, 2018, you know, there's also this old Nassim Hotel. Very embarrassed to say my husband has been there. I haven't been there. That's not good in my book. And he said, Monica, you'd love it because there are lots of natural materials that they've used in a very classy, luxurious setting. So anyone that's using these natural materials to look very, very nicely, big emphasis on design. I think that's going to be quite big this year. And food was nice as well.
Yeah, the food's very good. It's the same people who do Bistro.
Yes, okay. Australian-run place. The manager was Australian there, and a very nice girl from Kenya who was serving us.
And it's nice because it's not flat either. There's a little hill in the middle. Yeah. There's also a playground for children.
Yeah.
And there's a room that you can hire for children's parties as well.
Oh, okay. Okay. Nice. I didn't get that one. We had sort of standard things like, it's a bit boring, but I still like it, smashed avocado on toast with some poached eggs.
Very good.
That came in at under 50 dirhams. It's 49 dirhams, which I didn't think was too bad.
Turkish eggs were particularly good as well.
Okay, I didn't try those. And I also had an acai bowl, which I, again, had at Pineapple Express a little while ago. So they're using the acai powder and all the sort of very natural ingredients in all of those. So I like that. That was about 45 dirhams. We had a mixture of different things and shared, as most people do. The coffees, I think, were sort of something like 19 dirhams or something for a cappuccino. Cafe latte, flat white, or a long mac, I'm guessing with macchiato, 19 dirhams. And if you wanted almond or soya milk, I'm doing a bit of the soya milk kick at the moment, Steph, another 3 dirhams. Yeah.
You get used to it really quickly, the soya
do
milk.
Do you?
And then
okay.
you never want to go back.
Well, I went into Spinney's yesterday and I picked one up kind of furtively thinking, God, I cannot believe how many varieties of non-dairy milk there are. You know, restaurants at your peril if you don't have some sort of option. And one girl in front of me said, went straight in, picked up one. Can't remember the brand. I said, why have you picked up that? She said, I've done all my research on all of them. This is the best one because there's no added oil and it's not sweetened. Get this one. And I had some coffees yesterday with it, cup of tea in the morning. It's good.
Which one was it?
Something Harvest.
Aha, okay.
I'll take a picture of it and send it to you.
Super duper. Right, that's in the park with two N's. We recommend that you go and check it out. If you have already, we'd love to know your thoughts on any of the restaurants and menus that we talk about today.
Food. The news and the reviews.
Every fortnight we do this with Monica from Doin' Dubai. Monica, you've already told us about In the Park with two N's, which you'll find at Kazan Park, and near downtown, kind of Safa area. And moving on now to one that I went out and did, guys, called Punjabi by Nature in Udmetta.
I like the name.
Yeah, it's great, isn't it?
Yeah, cracking name.
Punjabi. Do you spend much time in Udmetta?
Me. I used to when I first came, and I am Punjabi, you know that stuff. So northern India, like the best people of India, of Punjabi, definitely. I have to say that, sorry. Bit of a plug for
no bias.
my region and my... Yeah, so...
Well, Punjabi by Nature is quite a big restaurant. It faces into what I call the Lampsy Plaza Square. We all know Lampsy Plaza, don't we?
Yeah, we love that. Big car park in the middle there.
If any ticketers are listening and they haven't been to Lampsy Plaza, it's like a rite of passage when you move to Dubai.
It's a kind of institution, I think, the whole area.
You have to go there. Inside there, they've got Tower of London. Which is so random.
Tower of London, inside Lampsy Plaza.
They've got the clown for a long time.
The clown that floats up and down. Yeah.
Well,
he's climbing. Oh, okay. Yeah. And he's climbing Tower of London.
Yeah.
Have you never noticed that? Like,
I've
stood back
I've
and
not noticed it's Tower of London. I've seen it and I've looked away very quickly.
No, it's Tower of London. Okay. It's amazing. But they serve rustic Punjabi food, home-cooked food.
Mm-hmm.
It's like the kind of food that I imagine your mum would cook then.
I guess, yeah, like, probably not anymore, but at one point, sort of. See, you've got to remember where Punjab is. It's in northern India.
Yeah.
It's farming heartland. It's the breadbasket of India. It's where all the wheat and the vegetables and the spinach and all that come from.
Yeah,
so the reason they made food like this is just quite heavy. It's like ghee and saag, which is sort of spinach, and rotis made of cornmeal and things like that. It was made for these farmers whose job it was to kind of labor-wise, like toil from morning until evening and like plow fields and all
calorific.
The rest of it. So they needed this sort of food to sustain themselves. Now, if you sat at an office all day, or done something sedentary, or sort of sat in a radio studio or at a desk, and then you go to Punjabi by Nature and have sort of traditional, rustic, heavy Punjabi food, I'm not sure how long you'd have to spend in the gym later in the week
to
work it off.
No time at all.
Okay.
They get a 3.9 rating on Zomato, which I'm using more and more these days. I'm finding that a brilliant site to go to. If someone tells me about a restaurant, I go straight to Zomato. Mm. And if it's anything less than a 3.5, I tend not to go.
Okay. Mm.
But a lot of people are using it to review restaurants, and they normally say on there what you should eat in the restaurant as well, which I find dead helpful.
Yeah.
So I had a Punjabi lassi when I was in there, and it was called Chatty Wally Lassi Pedi Dinal.
Okay.
Does that ring a bell?
I looked at this and I thought, how should this be pronounced? So
just like that.
I can't pronounce all of it. I mean, it's Chatti Wali. Wali means type. Chatti, I don't know what Chatti means. Chatti Wali Lassi, not Lassi. Lassi's like the dog. Lassi. Birdi Denal. So Denal means with in Punjabi. So it's a type of lassi with something.
Birdi, saffron.
I don't know what. Beardy, all right. So
it's got saffron in.
Lassi with saffron. Okay, all right then.
It's very nice, very creamy. Mm. Just what you need to offset a bit of curry, I think.
Was that cold lassi you had before your meal?
Yes, it was.
Right, okay.
I do always get a little bit confused with that because it is a bit like a pudding.
Shouldn't be. So lassis can be offered to you either sweet or they're salty. And they're made with buttermilk. And if you see them being made traditionally, they're sort of poured from one pan to one pot, if you like, to the other. Like huge, great big up. You can't see what I'm doing. So you're getting lots of air and you're getting lots of bubbles in the buttermilk. And then they're churned as well. And you have them either sweet or salty. And I always go for salty.
Oh, this one was sweet.
Okay, so maybe you asked for it sweet. Or maybe the saffron ones they're just making sweet. People make mango lassis as well.
It's a little bit like having a milkshake.
And is it a starter, this?
No, it's a drink, you see.
You just have it with your meal.
Oh,
there you are.
With.
So it's quite heavy. So you're already quite heavy. Yeah.
I spoke to Sharan Kagwani, who is one of the owners there, and his mum had taught him how to cook. He then moved to the United States to study, and his brother was there through a lot of barbecues, and cooking then turned into his passion.
We would do like tandoori salmon, or we would do like a ajwain tuna, you know? Like just put a rub on those and do a nice fillet of those on the barbecue, and it tastes incredible.
Is there anything on the menu right now that reminds you of your mum's cooking?
Yes, there is. There is sarso kasa and the spinach, because it reminds me, my mom makes a lot and I love it.
Mm. Has she tried it?
Yes. She only comes once a year to the restaurant though, but she loves it.
If my son had a restaurant, I'd be there every other night.
Once a year?
I would,
So you see, he mentioned the spinach as well.
Yes.
Which is what I said, so it's a saag. So spinach in Punjabi and Hindi is saag, and there's sarson ka saag, which is sort of mustard leaf spinach. And it's a real typical northern Indian Punjabi dish, and I'm sure they've got that on the menu.
Well, I was doing my vegan thing, but my other half told me that the chicken kebabs, the mutton, will melt in the mouth.
Okay.
I had the paneer tikka. I know it's not very vegan, but it's more vegan than the meat, which was very, very good. And the bill for dinner here would come in under 100 dirhams for two people. But here's the thing. I thought you could make a night of it, because when I came out of this restaurant, you look across to Lampsy Plaza, and at night time, all you see is this old cinema all lit up. And it's the kind of cinema we would have all went to as kids.
Yeah, it's the old, it's the typical box office, isn't it?
Yes.
Yeah. The cinema front.
And it's still like still
there. Yeah.
Yeah, it's still there and it's still operational and still attracts a lot of people.
And it's showing some fantastic films. They've got a Hindi movie showing right now. It's called Dangal. Now, this is a movie that you cannot miss. I can't think of a better place to see it. The Guardian just did a piece on this movie last week. And what they said was, it's a film about two female wrestlers helmed by the Indian megastar Aamir Khan. And it's become the highest grossing Bollywood film of all time. It's earned more than £41 million in 3 weeks, which is 182 million dirhams in 3 weeks, guys.
Gosh, move over James Bond.
Yeah, get out of the way. Yeah. It's all about Dangal. But it's a story, the true story, of wrestling champions Geeta and Babita. Now, they're sisters. So imagine this. The dad has got four children. He's got two boys and two girls. And he's focusing on the boys being wrestlers. This is what they're going to do with their life. They're going to be the wrestlers.
But the sisters take over.
The sisters one day come home and there's some boys with them who've been beaten up.
Mm.
And it's like, what's going on here? He insulted the sisters. The sisters beat these kids up, these boys. And the dad suddenly thinks to himself, all right.
Maybe these are the natural wrestlers.
A gold is a gold. Yeah. Does it matter if it's a boy gold or a girl gold? So I think it's just going to be a really great movie to see and an experience to have in Dubai.
Absolutely.
Yeah, go and see that. It's on at 6, 7, 9 and 10 tonight because they've got two screens in there.
And then you can always pop in Lampsey and watch the man climb in London Tower as well.
You can.
The little clown.
You can do it all.
And I think very interesting for India because they're trying to sort of put a message across there as well to say, you know what, don't the girl children, just keep them as perhaps number one priority. Yeah.
So yeah, it's brilliant.
And Aamir Khan is a great champion of those sorts of rights of people as well. So, yeah.
Go see the movie.
Imagine him do that.
It's called Dangal. And then check out Punjabi by Nature either before or afterwards, depending on what time you want to go and see the film.
Thanks, Shazeen, by the way, for your message. Of course, we're talking about food. Hey, Steph, loving the Indianized segment. We were talking about Indian food earlier on. The pronunciation of Lassie had my 8-year-old in fits. And I think I've just done it as well.
Lassie.
Haven't I?
Yeah, you have. Lassie.
Let's get back into some food news.
Food. The news and the reviews.
We've got Monica here from Do in Dubai. We're talking through some of the best new restaurants. Well, we're deciding whether they're the best new restaurants because what Monica does not do is mince her words. Mm. She sometimes minces her food, but not her words. We're going to focus on a new restaurant.
Do in Dubai, an honest guide to life in Dubai. Thank you very much, Steph.
She's got a feral collection of menus as well, hasn't she?
I have, yes. Yeah. I have to. Because it's much easier. And they say, you know what, we can send it to you online. Why don't we email it to you? And you said, no, you don't understand. At the studio, I need to have all my pieces of paper and my menus there in front of me because I never know what Steph is going to ask me about in terms of menu.
No, it's good. I like that you rob the menus. You could use them as wallpaper one day for a little room. Your study, maybe.
I should have them signed by the chefs in question.
Now, the next place we're going to talk about is one that you briefly mentioned before Christmas.
Yes.
And I was walking past it and I went, we have to go in here because Monica mentioned this. And I went for breakfast and it was fantastic. The service was probably the best I've ever had in Dubai.
Wow. And they didn't know you were the Steph of the ticket.
I went undercover.
Wow.
I paid for breakfast.
Real
was nice.
Compliment. Real compliment. Yeah. And genuine compliment and that too. I did go again. We went for dinner one evening last week. It was a Wednesday night. It's quite a new place. And I wasn't sort of sure how busy or quiet it would be. Not very, very busy, but absolutely fine. Nice groups of people. And I absolutely loved it. We're talking about Cheval. Cheval from the word chivalry. And it's the all-day dining restaurant, if you like, of this hotel called La Ville. La Ville is part of the Autograph Hotel Collection Boutique, collection of luxury boutique collection of hotels. And it's open in City Walk, as you say. We sat outside on the terrace. So you can have a table on the courtyard, which if you're dining in the evening, I do recommend. They've got those very nice fire towers because it is getting a little bit cool in the evening. So do take, I was wearing a jumper and I think I did need that actually. Very, very nice setting to sit outside. As you say, service was excellent. Food is, I'd say, sort of a little bit eclectic. So a couple of things that I had that I absolutely loved and I could probably have once a week, actually, for the next year without any problems. And I think, Zara, you would like this. It's called a beets and lentil. So it was sort of a beetroot, Moroccan spiced lentils, tahini labneh, crispy onions and a sweet vinaigrette. And the way that it was all put together is not how you'd think it would be put together. It's not like a base of lentils and then some grated beetroot and a little bit of onions on the top. It's cooked in a way that it works very, very well together. Tastes absolutely delicious and proper sharing plate. So the size of your red disc there, big dinner plate, and it would be for people to share. How much do you think that would be, Steph, or anybody, Mark?
I'll go for 79 dirhams.
I'm going to go 63.
Beets and lentils, 59.
Mm, you're all wrong. You all come in higher than a very reasonable, I think, 48 dirhams.
Oh,
so I could eat that and I could share that with someone and have a sort of glass of something. I mean, there's obviously a hotel, so if you'd like an alcoholic beverage, you can have that as well. So I think for 48 dirhams, that was very, very good. The other thing that I really, really liked, I must recommend, I mean, I liked everything, but these are two that stood out for me, was the agnolotti pasta. And this was stuffed, it was like pasta stuffed with ricotta and spinach, sun-dried tomatoes, toasted pine nuts, and some beurre noisette, which is a slightly burnt butter, and you get that nutty taste from it. But it just looked and tasted, you know, you cut it, it would melt in your mouth. You've got sort of mouthfuls of pine nut going on. You can see it beautifully presented in a sort of very light cream foam that he'd done on the top, with I think some parmesan or some pecorino cheese to kind of make it slightly more salty. So yes, it's got an N next to it, which means it contains nuts. It's vegetarian, so you wouldn't fall off your, would you fall off your vegan bandwagon? Yes, I guess you would, because it's got a bit of cheese in it, but just a little bit.
Foamy cream would be suspicious.
Oh right, okay. So I would order that and the beetroot together and then share that with sort of say two or three people and have that with a drink. So that was 80 dirhams, which I thought was very, very nice. Those two things I thought were very, very good. The chef is German. His name is David. He's actually worked at a 2-star Michelin restaurant. And I've done a post on this and people can go to that in the blog. And I have to say, I have to eat my words, not mince them this time. And I was slightly concerned when they said, oh, here is Chef David from Germany, because it didn't fill me with the most, what can I say? You know, you don't really go to many, oh, let's just go eat German food, do you? So I wasn't quite sure. But this guy is very accomplished, very experienced, worked at a 2-star Michelin restaurant before. And he told me that before they even sort of, you know, come up with dishes, they sit for months. They sat with a team of people. And it's very much a team thing at La Ville. And they've got like a Mexican person, they've got someone from the Middle East, they've got Italian people, and they sit down together and they really feed, if you like, pardon the pun, off each other in terms of ideas of things that will go together. So I highly recommend it, either for a casual sort of lunch or a light dinner, or for a more formal occasion. Do be careful with some of the prices, because some of the things on the menu were, although they were very, very good, they were much more expensive. So, for example, there's a lamb dish. It was a rack of lamb. I'm not a meat person, as you know. I tried this. It was divine. If lamb is like this, I would happily eat it. It was lamb rack, roasted Welsh organic lamb. So there you are. Maybe why it's expensive. Herb mustard crust, ratatouille vegetable side, roasted potatoes. I mean, how much do you think that was?
150.
Yeah, 175?
Yeah, it was 240. So you've got equally good dishes, some at 48, some at 240. I know ingredients cost an awful lot, but just, you know, have a look at the menu and decide what it is that you want to eat.
It's like quite a big menu, that.
It's not, actually. There's not that many dishes. It's like a big menu. I've got it in front of me here. So all the beverages are on the back. So the eating is there, and the little bit at the top is the dessert. So it's actually not. It's tasty bites, light things, wood-fired and slow-cooked.
What I would say about this place is when I was there for breakfast, it felt very much like the kind of hotel you would maybe expect to stay at in LA. Everything's very white, great lines.
Bright.
Natural. They've got different bottles of olive oil on every table that have got different artistic patterns on them. Like, it's really, really well thought through, every element of it. Very Instagrammable. And the only thing missing is a pool, because it feels like there should be a pool out there, doesn't it?
On that floor.
Yeah.
I think because it's very urban type of space, it wouldn't be the right place to have a pool. We did go up to the, I think it's called Lookup Bar. You get a fantastic view of the Burj Khalifa, and that is where the swimming pool for the hotel is.
They do have one then?
They do have one. And that would be, if you were in sort of LA, somewhere urban like that, that's, I think, where they would also have pools, sort of on a higher floor than on valuable ground floor space. What they do also have on the ground floor is another restaurant called Gray's, which I've yet to go to, but we did walk through there.
Yes, I saw that. It's got sofas. To sit on around the tables, which I'm not sure about. Sometimes I can feel a bit low on a sofa.
You can choose. I think you can choose sofas, or you can choose. And there's also an in and an out bit. The chef there is from Mexico, so I would really like to eat there and try that one too. So three different places. Big tick, and I will definitely go there again. Great if you're taking visitors too, and if you want to go and check out some of the sales, because it's very easy to shop at some of those shops in City Walk right there.
So that's Cheval in the new City Walk.
Loved it. Really good.
Zara, you went to check out a new menu this week.
Mm-hmm. I'm going to say right now, this was the best thing to happen to me at the worst time.
Why at the worst time?
Because I'm on this stupid pre-wedding diet.
Oh, don't be ridiculous.
So, Monica, this diet is gluten-free.
No, dairy-free.
Very low-carb, dairy-free. And I was thinking to myself, okay, I'm going to go to Marina Social, obviously at the Intercontinental in Dubai Marina. I'm going to have like a nice light salad for my starter, a really small main, tiny dessert to share with my other half, and that is it. And we turn up, and it's Monday Social Club, which is an evening brunch. And I've actually stolen the menu myself because there's just so many things on this menu. And I thought, oh no, if people ask me about all the different things, I need to have them in front of me, just like what Monica does.
You just copied me, Zara. Copy my style.
Well, yeah, there you go. Mm. 8 starters, so you get unlimited starters. And then there's 4
desserts. How many did you have?
We had all of them. You have to. They bring all of them to your table. And the 8. Only one, and the only one
willpower
that I sent back.
Willpower's gone well then.
The only one I sent back was a sourdough garlic flatbread. Mm. And the look the waiter gave me when I was like, no, I'm sorry. Like,
I draw the line.
I can't. By the end of the main, I was having some serious gluten and carb sweats. Mm. You know, when you haven't had something for a really long time. But yeah, it's a really nice, fun night. It's definitely a party atmosphere. Every other table was filled with people who were obviously celebrating birthdays or maybe they had visitors in town. And then there was us, the kind of boring, engaged couple on this pre-wedding diet. Really, really nice, though. I did try and stay good for the starters, Monica. So I had a really nice raw, pickled, and baked beetroot salad all together, mashed together, which was really nice.
Mm-hmm. I also had just red beetroots, was it golden beetroots as well?
No, just red. Okay, just red. Just red. Okay. Really pretty as well, yeah. And a mason jar. There was a really nice feta, snow peas, and mint salad, which was really tasty, very fresh, very light. I enjoyed that, but everything went wrong at the main.
Uh-oh. What are we talking?
Potato gnocchi. Oh. Roasted pumpkin.
Hold on. Yeah. Potato with another carb.
Yes.
Did you have garlic bread with that?
No, I didn't. I sent the garlic bread back. Thank you very much. Crispy sage and then parmesan. And it was delicious.
The gnocchi,
it was almost too
I've
good.
Had the gnocchi there. It's excellent.
I it mean, was
gnocchi,
too good.
You think it's like stodgy and a bit. Yeah. I can easily eat this. It's excellent.
I loved it. I ate way too much. Dessert was really fun. But we're talking 4 different desserts. Oh. I had like a spoonful of each. Mm-hmm. And I felt terrible because by that point I was so full I had to send all of these beautiful desserts back.
So 8 starters, 4 desserts.
And then 1 main.
And that was between 2 people.
Yeah.
So it would be 4. So if, I'm not saying anyone should go dine alone, but if one was to go on one's own.
Don't do it.
They would have 4 starters for one person. And then, how was it? How many mains would it be? 2?
1 for each person, right, and then 4 desserts.
So 4 starters, 1 main and 4 desserts per person.
That's a lot.
See, what
food.
You need to do, you want to say, okay, can I have the menu for 2, but there's actually 6 of us?
Yes.
But you can't do that, can you?
No, you can't. That's the thing.
Although no one says that you can't. You know what I mean?
Would you not be charged? But I think you'd be definitely somewhere like that be charged per person.
But why should you really?
Well, I think so as well. I think, you know, if Zara can't eat it and she's sending
I
the bread
terrible.
Back, and you can say, well, I can have that bread tomorrow morning with my breakfast for something, or someone else later, it's your bread, you're paying for it, you're paying for that amount of food. If you can't eat it then, I mean, I disagree with people, you know, with those things where it's like a buffet and you can't just say, oh, well, we'll pay for 2 and there's 4 of us and, you know, 2 people are just getting food for the other 4. But if you're allowed a certain amount of food, it shouldn't really matter. As long as each person perhaps pays a cover charge or something and they order their own drinks, which they would do anyway, and you'd be charged for those.
Yeah.
You know, if that's the amount of food and you want like one tiny portion because you're on a diet because of your wedding or you're intolerant or you just don't want to eat too much, then in a way, why shouldn't you?
I think so too.
And if people are satisfied with that amount of food,
I don't think they'd ever stop you, honestly.
I think they would have something to say about
I
that.
I don't know.
They should maybe ask them for next time.
It's more of a shame game for us that you feel like, oh my God, we couldn't do that. I don't think they'd stop you.
Yeah.
Mm. Oh, well, let's try it.
It's an interesting idea, but my other half eats everything, so he's not vegetarian like me. But he did agree that being a boring, engaged couple on a diet, we were a little bit out of place.
Yeah, I wouldn't say it's the most dietary responsible meal that we've had in terms of getting to our goal weight, but I thoroughly enjoyed it. But yeah, my one suggestion would be on one of these brunch days, wear stretchy pants.
So in terms of food, what did you like?
I loved the goat cheese churros. They're absolutely brilliant. I had a prawn cocktail salad, which was lovely. Duck rillette was really, really good as well. Really liked that.
Overall thoughts on Marina Social?
I think it's brilliant. I think it's exactly kind of what Dubai needs. Tristan's very creative. He's very passionate about his food. And I mean, sometimes when you go out to these more fancy restaurants in Dubai, they can get a bit generic, and you can kind of assume what you're going to get on the menus. But I think Tristan is still trying to be approachable in terms of basically casual fine dining, as some might say. So I think he's a very exciting chef, and I'm very glad that and very you know very excited that he's in Dubai and we firsthand could experience what he's coming up with.
So that was my other half talking about the Monday Social Club, which is the Monday night at Marina Social in the Intercontinental Dubai Marina. After the service finished, we were lucky enough to sit down with Tristan Farmer, who's the executive chef there. Find out what he had to say after this.
Food, the news and the reviews.
Yeah, and before the break, we were at the Marina Social with Zara, and I believe you managed to catch up with the actual person in charge there.
Yeah, the executive chef, Tristan Farmer, whom I have mentioned before the break. Lovely guy, very passionate. Spent an hour with us just chit-chatting after service had finished. And I don't know if this has happened to you, Monica and Steph and Mark, but sometimes executive chefs leave the restaurant a little bit early. So I've missed interviews in the past because they'll skip out at like 8:30, 9 p.m. But Tristan stayed till the end. He sat with us. He showed us around the kitchen. Him and my other half were geeking out something serious about the ovens and about the kitchen equipment. So it was just because obviously he's in the restaurant industry as well. It was really, really nice to see. But this is what he had to say about 2017 at Marina Social and this new Monday night brunch.
So the idea with Monday Social Club was, honestly, it was a little bit quiet on a Monday. And when I look at all the offerings, things that's in Dubai, it's really expensive. So we wanted to do something that was fun, it was relaxed, and it was really accessible. You have things like set menus in London for lunch, where you can go to a Michelin star restaurant for £30-40. Don't get that in Dubai. So we wanted to offer something where you could come, spend the night here. You know, if your birthday's on a Monday, why not celebrate your birthday on a Monday? We've got the live music. You can have as much food as you want, as many drinks as you want. And it was about giving something for great value that you could still really enjoy.
And if there was one dish on the menu that would kind of draw your patrons in, what would it be?
Just one.
Okay. Starter, main and dessert.
Okay, so we'd have to say social dog.
Yeah.
So for sure the duck and foie gras hot dog with mustard mayonnaise, toasted brioche. The tomato burrata, that's obviously not just a salad where we stuff the burrata inside the tomato. And then you've got to finish with rhubarb and custard souffle.
You know what I noticed on the dessert menu? I mean, just waves of nostalgia. Mr. Whippy,
yeah.
Bird's custard. That must have been deliberate.
A lot of it is nostalgic. It almost starts with things that I want to eat, things that I would enjoy. And then when you start to get playful with things like hot dogs, we're doing a fine dining hot dog, but it's still a hot dog. Things like the bird's custard. When I did it, I had the idea of doing rhubarb because it was January. Then I thought, well, actually, rhubarb and custard's a cool thing. Why can't we bring it back and do something really fun? So then I actually went on Amazon and bought custard jugs. My mum came to visit, and actually mum brought them in her suitcase. So there's a bit of fun behind it. There's a cool story, but things like that. We do Black Forest, almost little quirky things. It's not deconstructed. It's not sort of over pretentious. It's just, it's got to taste like the classic, but just sort of be a bit more fun.
That was the executive chef, Tristan Farmer, who is at Marina Social, and he was talking about Monday Social Club, which is every single Monday from 7 till 10, unlimited starters and desserts, and then one choice of main course, and that's 350 dirhams, including the house beverages, 215, including soft beverages.
We're going to move on next, Monica, to one that I think wins best name this week.
And which one is that?
Wise Kwai.
Wise Kwai, right, okay, yes. This restaurant is, do you know what kind of cuisine it would be from that name, Wise Kwai?
Thai?
Yes, Thai, very well done. So Wise Kwai is actually a film critic. We were talking about Bollywood cinema earlier. I don't know what we'd call Thai cinema, maybe Tollywood, because that's from Bengal or something, but Thaiwood or something. So this restaurant is completely themed around Thai cinema. And I'll show you, well, you can't really see the menu here, but you could take a picture. And there is the menu. It's a work in progress.
It's like an old movie poster.
It's like an old movie poster, exactly. And you walk in and you think, wow, this is the most funky street kind of Wise sort of menu. And Wise Kwai is a film critic, very well known in Thailand, apparently, and they've named the restaurant after him. We went in there and we had lunch. I have to say, I don't think they're quite ready yet. with the whole food offering. So I would genuinely suggest maybe waiting a couple of weeks before you go in for food. But what I did have, which I liked a lot, and I am so not a mocktail person, they just sort of brought us some drinks, and my heart usually sinks when I think, oh my God, like coloured drinks, this is just not me, and you're wasting it, and don't bother. But this one I really, really liked, so much so that I would order it again. And I like the name of it. It was called a Tom Yum Teenie. So after a, yes. What's the thing, like after a light martini or something, they're calling it Tom Yum Teenie. They've got one called a Taihito after a mojito, a Taipirinha. So it's quite clever the way they've done all these things.
And it sounds a little bit Smiling BKK, if you don't mind me saying.
It's nothing like Smiling BKK, no. And the Tom Yum Teenie had in it galangal, which is Thai ginger, chili, kaffir lime leaves and lemongrass. And it was in a proper martini glass, looked like a martini, and it had salt around the rim, a little kaffir lime leaf and a piece of red chili. And there's a beautiful picture on the thing on doindubai.com on the radio thing. So I thought that was very, very nice. It's got a lot of potential, very, very funky, interesting design. Isan food, I don't know if you know about that, which is northeastern Thailand. Zara maybe knows about Isan food.
No
type of Thai food.
A lot of head shaking going on in the studio
okay.
right now.
So I'm going to go back there when they've completely sorted out the menu, and we'll come back and talk about the food. But any idea where it might be?
Oh, I'm going to guess.
Location-wise,
Palm.
Yes. It's on a hotel. It's in a hotel. No, you're kind of in the right area of Dubai, but not down
Jumeirah.
On the Palm. No.
Media That's, City.
No, you're kind of getting warmer. Well, I put you out of your
misery. GLT.
So it's an area that has recently been renamed.
Barsha Heights.
Well done. Oh. It's Barsha Heights, absolutely. Which used to be called TCOM, and I still know it as TCOM. I don't know why they've renamed it Barsha Heights.
Whether it's way classier.
Way classier, right? Sort of like, what's the American thing? Something Heights, Pacific Heights. They're probably thinking Pacific Heights, Barsha Heights, TCOM. I don't know how that evolution happened. But so it's in Barsha Heights, in a very, very smart hotel called the Dusit D2 Kens Hotel. So the Dusit obviously is connected to the Dusit, you know, the one that we have on Trickside Road. So the Dusit D2s are the more contemporary, modern, smarter versions of the hotels. Very, very nice hotel. And on the ground, so this Thai restaurant, Wise Quiet, is on the first floor or second floor. And on the ground floor is a very, very Instagrammable restaurant called Ostro, which is sort of Mediterranean. Lots and lots of noise on the blogosphere. I've gone in there. Beautiful. If you want perhaps your wedding reception, Zara, that's the place. It's so pretty.
Now it's going to be at Ravi's.
It's going to be at Ravi's, right. Okay. I haven't eaten there, so we will go back and tell you what that's like. But that's a new place if you're in and around there to check out. A very pretty place.
A big hello to Dawn Gregory, who's texting on 4001 and says, my other half, does that make you half a person? I've never heard it so often.
And also,
we need to come up with something different.
My fiancé.
The bloke indoors.
And Alistair says, back in your box, Steph.
Back in my box. Yeah. I've been told. So very quickly, we need to talk about Gaucho. Are they doing something new?
Well, I know, I don't know if you remember, but I remember you slightly told me off saying you should see Monica's face when you were talking about the boiled chicken or whatever it was of a Christmas time that wasn't quite my cup of tea.
Yeah.
But I redeem myself now at Gaucho's, and they've got this whole detox thing going on, which I think is really good and would have been very, very helpful for you, Zara. They've got a very, very nice detox lunch thing. So here we go. So I'll tell you what you can get, and you tell me what you choose from this two or three course menu. So you start with a Perrier mojito, which is homemade chamomile honey syrup, fresh lime juice and muddled strawberry and mint. Now, for your starters, would you prefer saffron chicken broth or fire roasted peppers and avocado?
Fire roasted peppers and avocado.
Me too. Yeah, and I guess Mark, maybe the saffron chicken broth?
Yeah, all right, I'll go for
maybe
that.
Maybe that, because I guess the other two are vegetarian. Mains, oven-baked sea bream or flash grilled rump?
No, which one's more vegan? I think the sea bream.
I think for you, Steph, it may have been the rump actually would be more vegan. But anyway.
Really?
Well, no, because, so maybe. But I did ask them if they had a vegetarian main. They're going to get back to me on that.
Okay.
They will have one. And then for desserts, you can have either a grilled pineapple dessert or coconut chia pudding. Now, I normally say, what do you think that comes up to in terms of money? What do you think that comes up to in terms of calories? Because
this is
the point of this, you see. Eat guilt-free.
I'm going to say 734.
Three courses, all pretty good stuff. So you've got avocado, you've got your fish, you've got your pineapple. What do you think, Zara?
Avocado's got quite a lot of calories.
Exactly, that's what I'm saying.
So how many calories are you supposed to eat a day?
Like
1,200?
No, it's 6,000.
No, I think it's not,
6,000.
Not more than 1,200, surely, Zara.
I'm going to say 650.
And Mark, what do you think calorie-wise?
900.
That's gonna come up to. It's actually 500 calories. So if you were someone like Zara or someone like me or someone who just is just thinking, you know what, I don't want to think about it. I don't want to say, well, if I don't have this, I can have that.
Yeah.
Why don't you just go for this? 500 calories, 150 dirhams for three courses or 120 for two at Gaucho during the week.
We've run out of time. That is your roundup for the fortnight. Monica will be back next week. And if you'd like to find any of that, you can find it either via the Dubai Eye Facebook page. We're doing a link to the blog. Or just check out doindubai.com. Monica, thank you very much.
Thank you.